G'day, it's Gary Lyon.
And Tim Watson.
Now, you may not be hearing us from 6 to 9 each morning, and that may be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know.
Yes, but here's the good news. We're going to be here on podcast to keep you company.
Until we're back Tuesday, January 28.
Right now, you're getting into today's podcast, but how about later? Well, with Telstra Prepaid Max, you can data bank up to 200 gigabytes to use later. Just remember, for use in Australia, active recharge required to bank and access data. Now, on with the podcast.
I think by anyone's measurements has been a very, very successful period for the Saints. Lethers, well done. You'd be pretty pleased, I reckon.
Yeah, well, the club's ecstatic about some really great momentum. You know, we've got a new coach and now we've got five new players that wanted to come and join us and hopefully take us up the ladder, which is the key aim.
I know you've only been in clubland for a couple of years, but when you identify five and you get five through the door, I don't think that happens too often.
No, it doesn't, and especially in the age profile of which they all are, and I guess the oldest is Paddy Ryder, and he'll serve as a real mentor for Rowan Marshall, but also a mentor for our Indigenous players. So, yeah, the demographics of all the players is really exciting for us.
Take us back in the planning. How long has this been in the making?
Yeah, let's not make out that it's all meticulous and lots of things fell into line for us. We certainly had... We needed to get a ruck and we identified Paddy as, I think, the best in the market. So that was a competitive process, though, and so you don't find out about that until a few weeks out. You know, Butler sort of is a bit of a late one. He's sort of checking the waters about where he might end up and has a few to choose from. Howard, very late in the piece, you know, he didn't really get the all clear to look around until late. You know, he's a well-respected player over there and I think he stacked us up against a few. And... Jones, you know, during the year has always had a bit of an interest. He's a Bayside boy from down Mount Martha and Seaford Way. And I've forgotten who the fifth one is now.
Hill. He's a reasonable player.
Hilly was the main one we identified. We need speed and class. Yeah. And he's 2 years to go in a contract, so we certainly inquired early, did the work. And I reckon Colin Young was on here told you guys that by about July they probably had their mind made up. So he was always the target. And then... to get things done from there was going to be sort of an if we could situation. So, you know, I heard Soss before, and if you've only got one or two things to do, it can be harder sometimes because, you know, we had five things to do and we were prepared to lose some if we had to, but it all found a place. But that won't happen all the time.
So in a roundabout sort of way, not deliberately, but when Peter Bell knocked back your first offer for Brad Hill, it meant that you had to get a bit more creative and you split your pick. It probably helped you in the end.
Oh, absolutely. We having things to do mean you've got deadlines, and so we were honest about those and enabled us to go and do things. We didn't want to miss out on the chance to get Howard. We probably knew we'd always get Ryder, but we wanted to get Howard and Jones if we couldn't get Hill done. So, again, we weren't going to do the Howard deal, though, if we weren't going to be able to have enough left to pick up Hilly. So that was the critical part of splitting it, but also keeping pick 10. We were true to our word with Freo that... Hilly was a top 10 pick sort of player, so we maintained that in negotiations with Port and enabled us to get the rest of it done. So, yeah, it's hard work, but you don't have to win every trade along the way. You want to win the collective, the sum of all the parts at the end. So we probably gave up too much in some of those trades. We gave up less than we thought in others. So you get there in the end with a decent hand next year and in pick 51, still to have a crack at the draft.
What's your scouting report on Dougal Howard? Because we've had a bit of fun with the enhancer, and he's gone from being Dougal Howard that most people in the football world didn't know to Dougal Howard, who's a combination between Peter Knights and Ross Glendening. So, what's your scouting report saying on him?
Well, our scouting report, and I'm here on behalf of James Gallagher, who's done all the work. He identified Dougal, in about July, and he identified himself in Shanghai when he absolutely spanked us over there amongst one of 22 who did. And so Gags mentioned that he would love to give him to our club, but he had 3 years to go or whatever it was, and when he fell out of the team, and that's only because of the quality of Clooney and Jonas and others down back, to be honest. So if we could get a 200-centimetre athletic centre-half back to come in his age profile, we thought we'd have a good swing at it. And it all really fell into place that he'd fallen out. He didn't want to play forward. He was given the chance to look around, and we think he can play centre back for 8 to 10 years, to be honest. And and that is hard to find. So yeah, we're really excited. He might well be the most exciting of that crop.
So do you move on him before Josh Bruce, or how did that all come about? The fact that, you know, Josh Bruce didn't get his contract extension, so he'd already started discussions, or his people had already started discussions with the Bulldogs. The timeline around that?
Yeah, the chronology is hard to recall, to be honest, because it's literally happening all year. I mean, the discussions you have with list managers and with player managers is really ongoing now. You know, Josh, I don't think Josh was storming out of the Saints, but he certainly got a four-year offer with great security for himself. So if we didn't have the players to, in some ways, replace him, we wouldn't let him go. He makes us better, Josh, no doubt.
Mm.
He's good fun, well-loved, and he wasn't going anywhere unless we thought we had at least some sort of adequate replacements, some sort of adequate compensation, and the ability to move forward with the players that, you know, we think Paddy can play forward with Marshall. We think Max King's going to get better. So we think, okay, there's a net off there that's probably okay with Brucey going, but the sum of all the parts for who came in, I think, makes it work. And Josh has been a good servant and was happy to go. So we sort of got there in the end.
And with Jack Stephen, I mean, we identify and understand and acknowledge that there's an element of benevolence in getting him to a place where he's going to be happiest, but you also don't want to just give him away. How hard was it to strike that balance?
Yeah, it was a really difficult one. You know, Jack came in yesterday to, in his own way, sort of say thanks, but didn't really want to talk about what had happened. That's not him. Look, he's been a four-time best and fairest, I think, 11 years at the club. He's a basic free spirit who's a good person, who's had a bad 12 to 18 months on all sorts of fronts, and he was really clear that what would be best for him to keep playing footy was to start afresh. So that was difficult. We didn't want to lose Jack, and I reckon in our heart of hearts we would have liked to have got better compensation than we got, but in the end, to get some compensation and to help him out, that compensation helped us move on with some more stuff. If we had sat there wanting more than that, we would have got stuck and not got the rest of it, and that would have not been fair on the club to not do the right thing by Jack and get some more things to get better.
Do you have to pay any of his wage?
Yeah, we do. We're contributing to that, only for the first year, not the second.
And is that tied to the pick? Like, if Geelong said, well, we'll cough up more, but you've got to pay more? Is that an element of that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that all gets a bit murky by the time you do or don't do it. If we were only doing Jack Stephen this whole period, that would have been a different result. You know, if we were only bringing in Dan Butler, we wouldn't have let Brucey go. And if Bruce was going to go, he would have gone for a lot more than he went for.
Mm.
We had, an outcome on Brucey that we were going to demand Lettuce, Scott, Jones and Butler done. Otherwise, no go, because he's too good. Mm. So we were pretty reasonable in spots. And we had wins in spots. But, yeah, in isolation, a discreet transaction wouldn't happen unless you knew what was surrounding it.
Salary cap wise, did you need to do Jack Stephen? Did you need to get his salary or most of his salary off your books?
It doesn't hurt. You can always manage your cap. We're starting to get tight, which means we're probably about where everyone else is. Good clubs are really tight and having to juggle things all over the place. So it's helpful. It's not helpful losing your best player. And he's our best player. He's probably moved away from being that because of the condition he was in this year, but it's unhelpful to lose a four-time best and fairest, but it's to lose some of that money means, yeah, you can afford to go and get Howard and pay him a little bit more than he's going to get for a bit longer just to stump up what you need.
Look, it's been an extraordinary period. Let's be honest, we can't play it down any longer.
Like
for Saints fans today only, this is for today only, and what a day you should be doing this. You can sign up to access memberships for the price of one. So get on board, Saints fans. It's been and I say this seriously, it's been an unbelievable couple of weeks. 1-300-467-246. We've struck a new award this year on the basis of these comments last year.
Being a new footy manager or general manager of football on day three, it'd be a feather in my cap if Lockie stayed at the footy club. So that's what we're working towards.
It would have been a feather in his cap, that being Peter Bell, but he didn't. So he didn't get the golden feather, but we struck the golden feather And we didn't get you in here just to award this to you, but now that you're here, we can hand this over. And, hey, we know it's not just your hat. We know that it's James Gallagher, and we know that it's Gubby Allen.
Share it around the office.
Someone has to be the front man. So on behalf of everyone, congratulations to you and St Kilda. You can take this. You can put it in there with your one premiership.
Gary.
The golden feather is yours, Simon. Well done.
Gubby can wear this around Spring Carnival, but James Gallagher can wear it maybe to Oakstadel suit him. He did an unbelievable job.
Yeah, he did.
And Gubby was a nice voice of reason to have around too. So, no, Saints fans, if you're up and about, get on board because we need to try and get 50,000 members this year.
He's emotional.
Clearly he's overcome with emotion, Gary.
He can hardly talk.
Lots of other things I'm sure he'd love to say.
I know you guys are going to stick around for a few more weeks too and really dig into the rest of the process.
No, we're not. We're out in an hour and 9 minutes and then we'll be back. Great to see you.
Well done.
We'll be back with another entertaining podcast episode soon enough. But here's something clever you might want in your own home in the meanwhile. The new Google Nest Hub Max. If you're the kind of cook who doesn't know your fenugreek from your fusilli, just ask Google Nest. Set a timer for the oven while your hands are busy, or get the next step in your recipe from across the room. Or just ask it to play you some cooking tunes. Find out more about the Nest Hub Max and the Google Nest family at store.google.com/au. T's and C's apply.
Well done.
Thanks, boys.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast, Whispers. We're not here on the Monday to Friday setup. We'll be back on Tuesday, January 28th. But if you're missing either of our voices, the podcast is the place to go.